Hi, my name is Ophélie, and you're listening to the Mama Activist Podcast, a podcast where we explore topics ranging from social justice, culture, politics, and news through deep conversation with myself, activists, humanitarians, and everyday people trying to make a difference. It's a space where we are willing to learn, grow, and be challenged collectively while highlighting activists doing amazing things in the world. From hearing new perspectives to learning new things, we are pushing for a better world, fighting for our liberation and reclaiming our power. So tune in and be a part of the movement.
Hey guys, welcome back to an episode of the Mama Activist Podcast. And is your favorite sisters back again together? Hi guys.
Hello, 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 hello. Hello, everyone.
How are we doing today?
Quite tired, to be honest, but all good.
Did you sleep? You?
Did I keep you sleeping.
Sleep?
I keep sleeping.
Of course.
I keep sleeping.
This is the end, you know? You should be sleeping because it's not a joke when they say that. I mean, I'm talking from experience. After, there is no sleep. Until I don't know how old they are, there will be no sleep.
Yep, I heard it too. So,
yes, we'll get ready. And today we're going to talk about my sister's favorite subject, something that got her pregnant as well, sex.
And you too.
And me too. Sex. And this is actually my sister's idea. My sister Cassandra, she's been on the path of like liberating herself, and so have I. When it comes to sex, in like different aspects, you know how sex is such a taboo subject, and like yeah, people, it's just a taboo subject. I feel like nobody really wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about anything to do with sex. So even when it comes to like sex workers, you know, is like, it's put into the same category. It is
something to be shameful about. And I think coming from an African family as
and a
girl,
Christian family, well, like you,
as a Christian traditional Black family, I don't think I've met anyone in my generation or your generation that could have an open relationship with their parents or even their mom, talking about how to have safe sex, to understand your body, what you will accept, what you will refuse. And I think that's why a lot of us went through really bad experiences where we felt shameful about doing something, or we felt compelled or forced to perform the act when we didn't want to, because
we didn't know what we were doing.
We didn't know what we were doing, we didn't know what we wanted.
And also what's tolerated and what's not, like, we didn't know about consent or, you know, like...
Exactly, everything from consent to discovering your own pleasure, to normalizing your own pleasure, that's not something you learn and at school, honestly. Even if you have sexual classes, everything is asked and orientated towards the man, how the man works, how to pleasure a man.
Well, I think before we even go there, let's talk about the fact that, like, if we talk about our own experiences of like sex,
and
coming from a Christian family, you know, just that. Like,
just that,
Christianity,
yeah,
talking starts, about yeah. Christian, like, be coming from a Christian family, and I think a lot of like black kids coming from Christian family can relate. Christianity in itself is a religion that shames sex a lot, you know,
so it shames it outside of
also
marriage,
it's a sin outside of marriage, but even inside of marriage, it's like you're only supposed to do it to procreate. And if you look at the ways that Christianity like kind of like handles sex in general, it just shames it.
So I thought so too, but reading the Bible more and more, actually in the Bible it's supposed to be a pleasurable act.
But only
that
to procreate.
yes and no. So in the Bible, you will find a lot of passages where it's supposed to be an intimate act between you and your husband. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It's something that you have to do often. Yes, to procreate. But I think what happened is like the true meaning of it got lost in true translation down the generation and the time of history.
Mm-hmm.
And that man has been using this narrative to make it look like women are just here to satisfy them. But the Bible in itself, God in itself, do not shame you having sex with your husband. Men did.
I think the Bible did too a little bit.
The Bible is an interpretation of what men sees.
I mean, not necessarily like the Bible, but Christianity in itself.
Yeah.
Christianity
the way men
is not
it.
Just the Bible. And if we look at like patriarchy and the way that, you know, it's like everything is organized around like men
exactly.
are like
This is the
it's
problem.
The same in Christianity, like all those like priests, you know,
even
the
Islam.
faith.
Islam,
it's like
this
in Christianity, like Christianity is patriarchal. So you
is.
still have the same thing, like men leading Christianity, and obviously
Exactly.
men are shaming women and sex, and associating sex and woman, sex and emotion and woman. So you have the
Oh,
same
yeah.
in Christianity. So I feel like as a whole, the religion just shames sex.
Yeah. The religion is different than being a believer. So I completely agree where the religion is just a doctrine. It's just a set of ideas. And
Yeah, and
based
it's
on
such a
that,
shame
the
because
idea
how many
is
children, how
just.
many Christian children have you
So.
met that like were actually practicing sex without knowing it, but in a shameful
So.
way and in like a non-safe way? Like I'm talking from experience, like I have a friend who is like deeply Christian, like our father is a priest and she wants to stay a virgin until she's married. She's the same age as me. But she already practiced it, you know, she did other things other than like penetration. But she doesn't call it sex. And she does it in such a shameful way that she's not actually enjoying it, but she's doing it. So I feel like a part of like Christianity shaming sex and associating sex with women is also like somewhat of the reason why a lot of women, when they do it, they are not actually understanding that it's an act of pleasure, where they are allowed also to have pleasure. It's not just about giving to your partner. It's also
It's also
about like
receiving.
receiving.
Yeah, I think so. I can only speak of my from my experience. So just to reset the context, Ophelia and I are sisters, but I'm the firstborn. So being the firstborn, the expectation is always different than the rest of the rest. Every kid have their own set of challenges. Being the first, second, the third, the last come with a set of challenges. But as a firstborn, you always get in some aspect, the harshest treatment, especially when it comes to sex as a girl. It's not something you can talk about. That's not something you can even mention. You discover your body. So I discovered my body very young in the very and I felt very shameful for this. Having no one to speak about it. I think the only person I managed to speak about was my grandma when I was 16. But the fact to have to hide this means that when something bad happens to you, instead of seeing as a bad act that happened to you, you feel ashamed because all your life you'd be shamed for thinking about sex, for even talking about it, by people like
it's like it's not even supposed to happen in the first place, so
I've known
whatever
so
happened
many,
is like
I've known so many girls that that have been sexually assaulted, me included, and because of the shame surrounding this and the incapacity to speak open to your family, hence why it's so important for me to be able to liberate sex and to have open conversation within our family or even people around you, despite their religion, despite, you know, what they think, is because when something bad happens to you, instead of seeing it as a bad act that happened to you, you feel ashamed that it happened to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know,
Because you're like, it's
it's
not
like,
supposed to happen in the first
yeah.
place. So whatever happens doesn't really matter
And
because
it's your
it
fault.
happened in the first place.
And it's your fault because as a woman, you're told that whatever happens when it comes to sex, you created it. You're the one who provoked. You're the one who aroused. You're the one who wore the mini skirt. You're the one who
Well,
wore
really,
the.
what it means is like you are the one with the vagina.
Exactly. This is all there is to it. So
Yeah.
when you encounter a situation where normally you should feel safe to open up, the opposite happened because you know that you're going to hear, oh yeah, but what were you there to start with? What were you alone with that man to start with? What did you wear that? What did you drink? What did you do this? What did you do that? Because you were just shamed as a woman for that. And I think it's so important for me to be able to liberate that first in the family and then the mentality around sex worker and stuff, because sex in itself is not dirty. It should be enjoyed.
Yeah, but also it's like in creating those safe spaces, you know, we allow for our children, we allow for ourselves, we allow for the women, the girls around us to feel safe and to be safe and to know that whatever happens to them, they have a safe environment where they can question what happened, they can seek like advice, they can have like feedback, all of those things. And this is what happens when you don't create those safe spaces and when you just create some kind of shame around it and when you don't allow like your children to come to you and talk to you to it is exactly what happened to you is that whatever something would happen to them and instead of like feeling safe to talk about it, they are going to shame themselves. They are going to like disregard what happened, the consequences on them. So we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to our children, we owe it to our community to create those safe spaces. So then we keep ourselves safe.
And
And
then
yeah, so then we are able to keep ourselves safe.
And you allow education, because sex is heavily, as we discussed earlier, impacted by men's thoughts. And to me, it comes down to education. We are taught that women have to endure and men have carte blanche to do whatever they want and to get away with it. Boys just will be boys, or men just will be men, you know. I think education is so important, not only for girls about how to protect themselves and how to discover themselves, but for the mother and father who raised boys and men. Learn to teach your boys how to respect women too.
Exactly. Actually, I have a case that something that happened to me when I was in Africa. Like, Africa is very hot. And me personally, I see, like when I'm in my space, I like to be clothesless. I don't like wearing too many clothes. And I make sure that the people around me feel comfortable if they don't want to wear clothes neither, because I don't associate nudity with sexuality, and I'm trying to teach that around the people. I'm trying to teach that to the people who are around me. So when I was living in Africa, for a while, we were staying with some children who were staying in some of the rooms where we were living. And one of the girls, the older girl, she was about 17, she, like, straight away when she moved into the house, she was like, you know, she doesn't like wearing tops, so often we wear topless. And the space was, like, it was woman-dominated, so, like, we were, like, the woman outnumbered the men. And there was that one time, it was the morning, and we woke up, and every morning when we woke up, we would go outside and brush our teeth, and we were both topless. And a lot of, like, the community around us, all of our neighborhood are mostly women as well. And you'll see that walking around, a lot of women in the morning, they do the same. And this one day, there was that older woman that came to us and she started talking to us. And then she started talking to Mata, which is a young girl who was with me. And she was like, why don't you cover yourself? And so I asked her, why did she want Mata to cover herself, especially because it was very early in the morning. We just got out to brush our teeth. We just literally got out of bed. And she told us it's because of the young men around her, around the area. And so I was like, so you're asking, and then she says that I had to protect my daughter. And I understood where she was coming from. You know, she was trying to look out for Mata, but really what was wrong is it was like, you should cover yourself. And it was nothing to do with like we should educate our like bodies. It was all to do with like the woman needs to learn to cover herself. So whatever the man wants to do, he will have no excuse to show like some kind of like abusive behavior, like rapist behavior of all of that. And then again, there is this like mentality that is a woman who has to do everything, is a woman who has to cover herself, is down to the woman whether or not a man is going to attack her. You know, it's never like, oh, we should educate our child. Like what I say to that woman that morning is that no, like she should be free to do anything because her body is not an object. Her body doesn't like her. She shouldn't be sexualized at such a young age. And she was like, yeah, but you need to protect her, blah, blah. And then when I told her that actually it's the boys in the neighborhood that we should educate if they had a problem with her, and then if they were going to try to abuse her, or like to touch her, or to do something wrong. And for her, it was like she was almost telling me no. She was almost like, no, it's her. She needs to cover herself, you know? And there's that mentality that, like, we shouldn't raise our men, our boys better.
Yeah, oh my God, I remember I was 13. I was 13, and we had some of our uncles coming over in the house. I think it was for a barbecue or something. And I was wearing a skirt. And, you know, when you sit down, so I sat down and I just had my legs a little bit open. Just a little bit open, nothing, you know, nothing tragic. And one of my uncle looked at me and said, Cassie, please, when you sit down, close your legs. Close your legs because it's going to cause, it's inappropriate and it's going to cause people to look into your legs. I was 13, so obviously you listen to your uncle, but down the line, I'm thinking now, they don't have to look there to start with. Men shouldn't look between women's legs to start with. And then I remember when we went to my mom's traditional wedding, you know, the dot in July, I had a dress, and I remember cleaning after at the end, you know, grabbing the plate and stuff. And I went past our grandma, and next to our grandma she had a lady with who she prays a lot. So I went there, grabbed the plate. And the old lady looked at me and didn't you have anything shorter to wear? Your dress is too short. Why are you wearing something like that? We can almost see what is underneath. She was like, don't you see all the men around you? And I mean, what are you supposed to say in this situation? You know, like, it's just a dress. Mm-hmm. I mean, and all the top was covered. It was just above my knee. It was like halfway through my thighs.
But see, there is still that narrative that is up to us.
It's up to
the woman, that the woman has to be careful. The woman should protect herself. It's like we should protect ourselves against the men, and the men shouldn't know better. Because like, you know, however dress your dress was, we were that was like a family gathering. So if one mm-hmm. of the men around there, they had to behave. And like, you know, it's like just because a woman is wearing something short doesn't give you like it doesn't allow you to do anything. It's not an excuse for you to do anything, and you
to can't do anything
blaming on the woman.
And you know, in the Bible, is actually so it's in Bible, it's Matthew 5, so Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 to 30, the Bible discussed about a man having lust eyes, and how if he looks at a woman with lust, it's not actually the woman the problem.
It's him.
It's the man.
Yeah.
So in the Bible, if a man looks at a woman with lust eye, the Bible said that the guy has to gouge his eyes out and cut his hands, because by looking at the woman with lustful ways, he already committed the sin. So the Bible never blamed the woman for that. In the Bible states, it's the men that should remove their eyes and not the woman that needs to be killed because she wore a short skirt. Jesus saved Marie
Yes,
Madeleine being
Christianity
a
blames the
prostitute.
woman.
Exactly. Jesus stand and had one of his best disciples was a former prostitute. He never shamed her. He stayed with her. He there's this narrative that he forgave her somehow, which is not the truth. And when she was about to be lynched by other people, he was like, whoever never seen threw the first rock. Nobody did. So he never shamed her for being a prostitute. If anything, he was like, yes, she is, and whoever never sinned, go ahead, throw the first rocks. So the fact that men has just changed the narrative in the way that women are the problem and we shouldn't be educated, and then that I'm not even going to talk about excision, which is a practice that just scares me to know that in some countries women have to have their clits and lips cut off to have the sexual pleasure diminished
Well, it's
until they
not
are
just
married.
about this actually. It's like being in Sierra Leone, I actually met with some woman who did it. But
Oh
I
my
think
God.
like some actually it's sad to say, but some women do it by choice because of
Yeah.
like their
But
tradition.
this is
But like
indoctrination.
exactly, yeah. But going back to like women and sex, like women are associated with sex, and like it's like our whole body is like an object. You
This
know,
is it. We are so sexualized.
yeah, like we become sexual objects that anything that we have, anything that like our breasts, our bums, our like everything in our
Even
body
a piece
is
of
sex.
tiny skin.
Yeah,
Tiny
yeah,
skin is a,
yeah.
like, this is why some women wear the burqa. Well, as I've seen couples where the woman wear the burqa completely covered from head to toes, but the guy next to her husband will wear a short and a t-shirt
Yeah.
because she had to hide herself from temptation, but he wasn't. And on the top of that, I also witnessed couple in this situation where the men will, without shame, looking at other women during the summer wearing shorts, t-shirts, and stuff, and then pretend to insult them in front of his wife. But then you could see in his eyes he was looking it with lust.
We lost the
So
yeah.
there's a massive hypocritical behavior behind this as well, where the woman can only be a woman or sexual only in the presence of a man, her man, and in some culture, you do have what we called honor killings, where the family is allowed to kill a woman, where they deemed they disrespect the family, and it's always come down to something that they quote sexual.
Yeah.
She started dating a guy she wasn't supposed to, she wore something too short, she started wearing makeup. And when you look at cases like that, it always come down to she just wanted to be free. And she just started to wear jeans. She just started to date. Maybe she had sex, and that was enough for her to get killed
Yeah.
just because of
This is
sex.
how much like women's body are sexualized and how much like our society see us as object. And in some cases it's sad because it's like internalized racism a lot.
Of
A lot of
course, it is.
us, a lot of women internalize that sexism because it is sexism to the extent where they also see themselves as like sexual object. But to go back to like the topic of sex, because this is really what I wanted to talk about. But like it's like something I wanted to mention as well, and obviously everything that you just said is like true. Like the ways that the woman body is being sexualized is very dangerous for a woman because, like you know, in like you say, in some instances, it can also be the reason for like our death, like for like it like. A lot of like violence is being normalized because of the way that we are being seen as object and the way that people treat us and see us and the way that we expose ourselves in the context of like people sexualizing us as well. But yeah, to go back to like the topic of sex, something that I wanted to mention as well is that not only like women are being associated with sex and sex is taboo. But also, like, if you look at the way that, like, sex is being portrayed in general, like, we mentioned how Christianity shames sex And this you can also see it in like the media, like in TV, you know, there is always some kind of like shame around sex. The people are more willing to talk about violence, to talk about death, than they are willing to talk about sex as well. You know, like we talk much more about like violence. We are okay to see people being killed, people being like cut into pieces. But when it comes to like sex, it's like a big no. You know, there's always moments where like you watch TV and there is like a scene on the movie where like they are like you have two actors who are like going into like an intimate moment. And this is like something that people will not watch, but people will watch people being killed. And I think when it comes to like sexual liberation, this is also something that we have to talk about because it's also one of the reasons why there is that shame around sex that keeps on like being here. You know, like how many times were you sitting in front of the TV with mom and then something happened and then you just felt that shame, you know?
To look at two people kissing, yeah.
Yeah, but when it comes to violence, which is the opposite of sex, people being killed is normalized, no?
Oh yeah, my mom, if you remember, she had this phase of horror movies and we would just sit next to her watching people getting killed, strangled, decapitated. But as soon as we would see two people kissing, she would give us the look like, you watching this, right? Why are you
Yeah,
watching it?
but it's part
Yeah.
of like that. It's part of why sex is like why we need to liberate sex and why there is still all that shame around it.
I think to me the something that really shocked me at the time, and that was right after I was sexually assaulted by a close friend of mine. We were watching a documentary on TV and it was about violence actually. It was so-called Set Habits, so 7 to 8, which is a big documentary show in the national TV. And then it was this sad case of this 18-year-old girl who had a boyfriend, and her boyfriend texted her to meet her in the hotel. And it was basically a trap. So she went to the hotel, and the boyfriend was there with a lot of friends. They got her drunk, completely drunk, to the point of oblivion. They all raped her, and then basically she died from alcohol poison. So they put so much alcohol on her in her
That
that she
she
dies from
died.
alcohol. Yeah. And talking of the violence of the act was fine, no problem. But I remember my mom looking at me and saying something like, oh, if something like this happens to you, just so you know, deserve your rights. Because why would you be alone to start with so many men? And I was thinking to myself, so in the whole violence and stuff, it's so indoctrinating that the women are guilty and have to be shamed, that even in this, you still find a way to blame the woman as a mother to your daughter.
And that violence is kind of normalized.
The violence was normalized, but
Yeah.
it was not, oh my God, they did this to her, or oh my God, how could they beat her
It's
or rape
like,
her and
why would
stuff?
you find yourself in a
Why
place with
would you,
someone?
exactly, it was like, and I think, unfortunately, a lot of us, when we saw this story, might have the same reflexes was, how could she put herself in this situation? And unfortunately, this is, I think, a lot of what women were thinking or listening to that poor girl story. We didn't think about, God, she got raped by 10 guys, or she got beaten, or forced drink and stuff. Their first reaction was
To blame the woman.
to blame her for being in this situation. And after that, only after that, yes, okay, well, you know, okay, she got drunk, and then they will still find a way to justify this by saying, oh, but if she didn't follow that, if she didn't have that, if she didn't have her boyfriend and stuff, she would be alive. No one blamed the guy for trapping her and causing
For
so much violence.
it's like she shouldn't have put herself in
Exactly.
that yeah.
So it goes
But like
around with what
me, I
you
want to talk about like positive sex as well because like our topic
said.
is liberated sex. So how
But
do
that's. But that goes hand to hand. That's what I'm trying to say is, until we break this narrative, I feel like we cannot have open discussion about what is happy sex,
we? But how do
what
we
is.
break the narrative? That's the thing because
by education.
Liberating sex is also like allowing us to have like conversation about sex that doesn't necessarily involve trauma.
And it goes through education.
It's re-education, but also recognizing how much we associate sex with something bad, and it goes on, it goes with what you are saying about that poor girl who got raped and how like straight away people blamed her and didn't blame the boys. It goes with like, you know, us always like normalizing violence, and yet when it comes to like when we see sex or when we see anything that is too intimate, we all go kind of like a bit shy, and we've all done that, you know. And it's like also is also about creating safe spaces. But how do we bring on like positive sex? How do we lead ourselves when it comes to sex? How do we have positive conversation about sex that involves everyone? Or we create safe spaces where people feel safe to come and talk about it, or don't feel ashamed when we are bringing on the topic of sex.
Do you know Wiz Khalifa? Do you know Wiz Khalifa, the rapper?
Wait, just before you say that, you know me when I lost my virginity?
Yeah.
I called mom.
I could never do that.
But like her reaction was so like, there was no reaction. And then when I got pregnant, she got upset because she was like, yeah, you never tell me about all those things, blah, blah. But the day I lost my virginity, the next day, I actually called her. I don't even know what took over me. I just called her and I was like, yes, this happened. And then she just went silent. And I think she hung on after. She didn't say anything. Trying to create something positive around.
Unfortunately, you know, as I said, it changed from different, because the only time they found me with a guy at home, I got beaten and insulted. So I think it really depends of your positions and stuff and the maturity of your parents. Because, oh my God, if I were to tell her I lost my virginity, she will have a fucking different reaction towards me.
Yeah.
She saw me with one guy and I was called a whore and ignored for a week. So I think it really depends on...
But that says a lot about her idea of sex. And like the way that she shames it as well.
But I was thinking about Wiz Khalifa because, for the one who doesn't know him, he used to be engaged, he used to date this girl called Amber Rose, who is a very activist when it comes to sex liberation, sex positivity. And it's a woman that I respect because they have a son together who is now, I think, 11 or 12. And since the day he was born, and I think she was shamed by a lot of people at the time, she wanted to normalize nudity in front of her son. So she would always be naked around him. She would always make sure that he's comfortable with sexuality around him. And that he was used to seeing women's bodies for just what they are, bodies, not something sexual.
And for object, which is why I spend my time naked in front of everyone.
And I remember people saying, oh my God, how could you do this to your son? And she was like, because it's just a body. Mm-hmm. My son just sees a naked body. That's all he sees. He doesn't see the boobs. He doesn't get aroused. It's just a body. And then I saw an interview between Wiz Khalifa and his son. And the way his son was speaking about women, people could not deny the amazing job that she did by normalizing sex, nudity, bodies in front of her son, because that's not a topic he's uncomfortable. It's a topic that he wants to be educated about. And the way he was speaking about women, his mom being also a sex worker, because she is.
Like he wasn't conditioned to see women's bodies
exactly.
And sexual.
The way she did it.
Which is the way that most of us are conditioned to think.
Exactly. To me, that's a beautiful example, because he was never conditioned to see women as sexual objects. If down the line he's going to find a woman that he's going to respect for who she is, not for how she looks like.
Exactly.
And then, the body will follow. But I found it, when I saw the interview 2 weeks ago, it was beautiful the way he spoke at 11 or 12. And people went from shaming his mom for what she did, to saying, wow, They both did an amazing job with raising this boy.
Yeah. And this is why for me, like me, I'm glad, I'm grateful for the communities I have and for the friends I have, because like with my ex-housemate and even me in general, me, I'm trying to also like break and disrupt that narrative that nudity equals sexuality. So I'm really comfortable with my nudity, but a lot of the time people around me are not comfortable with it because of the way that they sexualize me. So by, you know, by really standing up in what I believe and really like allowing myself to be comfortable naked in around other people, especially friends and family, I'm also showing them how there is two narratives and one is wrong. And the one that is wrong is that my body is a sexual object. And the one that is true is that my body is just a body that people should see me just for me. And we should be more comfortable with our nudity as well. A lot of people are not comfortable with their nudity. But on that note, we are going to have to finish today's episode.
I just wanted to say one little thing.
You can say something. You have 4 minutes and then we can continue this conversation in another episode.
In Germany, it has been approved very recently that women are allowed to go topless in swimming pool, just as men. So they're allowed to just remove their top. And the comments when this was published was very funny, because it was so funny to see the comment that people were like, well, yeah, it's just a breast. If you guys are allowed to show your breast, women should just be the same.
Yeah.
And the one that were like, a bit. And their worries were not exactly because they will see breasts, but because they were saying, oh, but that's going to arouse men in the swimming pool. And it was like, it's just breast. And this is why breastfeeding as well is a problem, because it's just a breast. It's just a breast.
But people don't see breasts just for being breasts. They see breasts as like a sexual object.
Something sexual.
The same with me when I'm breastfeeding. I had comment by a man that was like so inappropriate. When, you know, my breasts are not a sexual object. They are not here for men's pleasure or men's satisfaction. They're here because they're supposed to be making milk for my baby, which they are doing, you know. So people who see my breast as something else and who sexualize my body all the time is not what my body was intended to be doing. Anyway, on that note, this conversation was amazing, and I think that I would like to have more conversation around that, because I think that this is how we liberate sex. This is how we create safe spaces, by having this kind of conversation, positive conversation about sex. It's also important to raise awareness on the issues surrounding sex and surrounding like the fact that, you know, like us women, we are always sexualized. But it's also very important to have positive conversation around sex.
Yes.
And to allow people to feel comfortable when they talk about those kind of things.
Exactly. And that includes solo sex as well, because masturbation, unfortunately, is so shamed, when it should be something natural and not being shamed about.
And this is a topic for another episode as well, how much shame there is around masturbation. Anyway, that's it for today, guys. Thank you for anybody who tuned in. Thank you, Cassandra. Thank you, baby. And I will see you in the next episode. Bye.